Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered.
Undiscovered podcast.
Shall I get started?
Yeah, do that.
All right. Hey there, everyone, and welcome to episode 141 of the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast. We've got a really, it's a bit of a mystery episode happening tonight because our two co-hosts that you can currently see on the screen, if you're watching this on video, of course, have no idea who our special guests are. It could be,
we're both stroking our goaties. What could it be?
So of course we've got Rossi in Sydney there, and we've got Braggy in Adelaide. So how are you boys? What's been happening?
I had rather a big weekend of footy here.
Yeah, with the gather round.
Gather round, you people. And it was awesome. Just two games at my home ground.
Yeah, two sellouts.
And this, because last year was sprung on us a bit. So it was a bit, there was a few complaints about Norwood Oval last year because there wasn't enough people serving beer and there wasn't enough dunnies. But this year we had more, because this year we had more time, and I think everything went off without a hitch. And on the Sunday when Richmond played St Kilda, for the first time, when we first moved there, they used to have the Norwood Parade food and wine event, right?
Yeah.
Festival. Used to be on, they used to close off the parade, and they brought it back for that Sunday. And they said during the course of the day, they had something like 50, 60,000 people.
Wow.
Through that street, which is just, I was going to go down. I'm glad I didn't because it would have been
phenomenal. Insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a whole day of the thing was shut off. You know, it opened at like 11 and went right through till midnight or whatever. So.
You'd go for the food, wouldn't you, Rossi? You wouldn't go for the football, surely.
No, you wouldn't go for the footy. No, need to.
There might be some rock bands to see somewhere.
No need to in Adelaide.
Who was playing in the front bar at Norwood, mate?
I don't know. Not me, unfortunately. It would have been a good gig. I do have a call to arms tonight too. I don't know if we'll say it now. We talked last week briefly about the Crown and Anchor in Adelaide.
Yeah.
The Cranker. And it's under threat of closure because the people who bought it a little while ago, 2016, are now want to build some student accommodation on that site because it's right close to the city, which means the venue will go.
That's so cool. Wow.
And so there's a petition. I'll give you the details, Curly, and hopefully we can put it
in the show notes.
And everyone can sign it.
They need the Cranker.
Yeah, they were trying to get 25,000 signatures. They got 16,000 already. But, you know, so many bands have played. Tex Perkins has played there. Heaps of people have played there and before they were big, you know. It's the same as 1,000 pubs in Sydney, I'm sure Rossi would know. And it's just another one that might go. It's a shame. And they have acts on six nights a week, so.
I saw Tex Perkins on Friday night, actually. I went and saw The Beasts in Sydney.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
James Baker on drums.
James Baker on drums, Charlie Owen on guitar, Boris Suvich, and, of course, Kim Salmon as well. It was pretty rocking.
Where were they playing, Rossi?
They were playing the Metro Theatre in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty rocking. Yeah, like... I'm not the world's biggest Beasts fan, but you know, like it was a significant event. James Baker is a fantastic fella, and he's not well. Liver cancer. He's not well. He had to be carried to the drummer stool and helped to the stool and back, but did very well. And the band are doing it kind of as a tribute to James. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Which is a cool thing. And everybody, every man and his dog was there, I think.
I saw some of the reviews and there's been lots of photos shared on socials. So it's awesome. Now let's, before we bring in our guests and a very quick summary of some news that's been happening. And, of course, we've got some huge news that I'll pass on to Rossi in just a sec. But Dave Graney and Claire Moore have got a new album out, and it's called, and it's, you've got to love their titles. It's called Strangely in Brackets Emotional in Brackets. So work that one out for me. Comes out on April 12. And of course, I've sent out a feeler there to see if we can get Dave and Claire on the show to talk about it. So let's see how that goes.
That'll be good.
Remember Zach Cross from Rocky, the young country Aussie rock. He's got a new single out, and it's interesting. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't listened to it, but the song's called Dear God. And as we know, XTC had a great song called Dear God. Brilliant. So it'll be interesting to see if it matches that sort of a quality.
Yes.
And Rossi, you've got some news, I believe.
Well, that's correct. A band very close to my heart, Jupiter 5, we're just getting ready to release our debut album called Fifth from the Sun, a 13-track eclectic collection of garage rock tunes.
Yeah, let's get the PR.
Hang on. It's a masterpiece.
Come on. It said this dazzling 13-track masterpiece is a proto-punk garage meets riff-a-rama psych explosion that will shake the foundations of your reality.
Riff-a-rama psych explosion.
I got to say, we played a show in Wollongong at a place called Dapto Dogs, I think it was anyway, or something Dapto, something Diamond Dogs in Dapto. And this punk guy was there, and he's posted online that he saw Jupiter 5 walk on stage, and he said, "I saw what looked like a bunch of my grandfather's best mates come on stage." And then all of a sudden they kicked into some of the craziest garage psych rock they'd ever heard.
I love it. I said, thank you very much. I've had a preview listen, but I love it.
What did you make of it, Braggy? What did you make of it?
It's like a Venus flytrap. It lures you in with the first couple of songs, and then it's a slippery slope. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Ascend into the heart of the beast. But it's not metal, it's just freaking great fun. It sounds like heaps of fun.
We're enjoying ourselves, and that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And it's I'll put the link to Bandcamp in the show notes, Rossi.
It'll be on Spotify on the 1st of May. It's coming out on May Day, Will Robinson. What May Day?
you gotta love it. Hey, before we introduce the special guests, I just want to say, how cool is Cool for Cats? I mean, seriously, Cool song. For Cats. What a great song!
Yeah,
those guys are brilliant. Like, Squeeze, they really are.
There's
another song that I love called Up the Junction. Have you heard that?
I love that song, Up the Junction, about the guy gets a girl pregnant and then they lose her.
It's
such a sad song, but so well written.
The piano player is Jules Holland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Jules from that band.
Later with Jules.
Yeah.
You ever see that show, Curly?
No, I didn't.
You can look it up on YouTube. Later with Jules, what they do is they get like five or six bands in a circle.
Yeah.
And they all play, and they go from one band to the next to the next. And sometimes he plays piano with them. And it's got some of the biggest acts in the world on it. It is fantastic.
And they're all so different. He'll go from Tom Jones to
the Waits,
to the Strokes or whatever. You
know? Okay. Yeah.
And you can see every band is fascinated by every other band. They're just watching them, you know, especially if there's a big name band on there, you know.
Yeah, I've seen The Darkness on there. I saw Peter Parrott, The Only Ones, those guys. Yep. Like it's had anyone who's anyone. And I think the last episode they had Squeeze on.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah. I'll have to check it out. So sitting in our green room right now, and I've got to apologise, our green room isn't that amazing. You bring your own beer or your own drinks and you sit there watching us for, 11 minutes, so... guys are two icons, absolute icons of Aussie rock. They've been playing hits for decades. They've been in and out of bands. It's probably fair to say that they've had a fair bit of success recently, of recent times, in the recording studio. So I'm just going to bring on our two guests. The boys have no idea who's just about to join us. So let's see.
Hello, boys. Hello, boys. Nice to see you.
Hello, boys.
Nice to be here.
What a fucking letdown.
I fucking told you. I told you that's what it'd say.
And of course, we've got the public relations arm of Rail Motor. We've got Jumping Johnny Rail Motor. And we've got Bobby the Boss. How are you, boys?
Hello. How's it going?
Hello.
You hear me all right?
How are you?
Lovely to see you both.
Yes, wow. Same here.
I'm almost seeing you guys. I'm a bit laggy tonight. I just want to say one thing, Curly. Yeah. Your green room's even bring your own fucking room, mate.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Hey, so, Waxy, in your case, it's probably bring your own green as well.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. It's Johnny. It's not Waxy. And he's even got the name.
I'm just
wrong,
trying to get my head over that light.
Hey, now, of course, Braggy's in interviewer mode tonight, so this is all about bringing in some PR for Rail Motor, because we did have some other guy on, Rossi, and he seemed really almost didn't want to talk about it. So we just thought...
He's very shifty.
Yeah, very, very shifty. So, Braggy, I'll get you to start with the normal question, eh?
Oh, the normal question, how did it all end for you guys? Actually... That's probably the best question to go to Bobby Rail Motor, Bobby the Boss. Yeah. Robbie, tell everybody how it all started in the music industry for you.
In the music industry?
Was it Liberace?
Oh, no, the very first, my dad wanted me to play piano, wanted me to learn piano, so we got a piano. And to encourage me, he took me along to my very, very first ever concert at the Theberton Theatre.
Oh, nice. Still
in
there.
In Adelaide.
Thebby.
Yeah, yeah. And
Thebby's still there.
Yeah. And it was Liberace playing because he thought I'd be inspired by Liberace.
Wow.
Which I kind of was. But the very first song I ever learned on piano was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
Wow. And was it good?
I learned to play. Oh, he was actually very good. Yeah, he's a showman.
Yeah,
but just he's good fingers.
I'm not going to touch that.
No.
I'm not touching that.
Oh, I nearly spat that cup of tea.
Yeah. And we've heard from Waxy before with Julio. What was it? Engelbert Humperdinck, wasn't it? Where it all started with you.
Oh, my father. That's all he'd listen to. Engelbert Humperdinck. And then I remember seeing Shirley Strawn on stage, and I thought, I want to do what he does. I haven't got there yet, but I've played in a lot of pubs around the place.
Well, two icons of Aussie rock.
How good was Shirley?
Yeah. How good was Skyhook? Seriously. I mean,
I was devastated when he died.
Yeah. That Michael... Gudinski special was on last night, and just to take a punt on Skyhooks at that particular time is what ultimately saved Mushroom in the early days. But then to see early Split Ends was just mind-boggling. So backing it up with something even more crazier. So
we've been going through that Split Ends back catalogue around here, and that early stuff the look was all based on Mad Magazine. There was a guy called Don Martin who did cartoons, and that's how Noel Crombie did the hair out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's funny, because the very first actual rock concert that I ever went to was in Adelaide. It was at Memorial Drive, and it was a triple bill, and it was Ross Ryan, who sang I Am Pegasus.
I Am Pegasus. Oh,
Yep.
Followed by, the headline act was Sherbet. I was about 12 or 13 years old, and the headline act was Sherbet, and the act in between that came on before to support Sherbet was Skyhooks.
Wow.
And they just literally blew Sherbet off the stage.
Sherbet,
and Sherbet were the number one band in Australia at the time.
Sherbet were a band.
I saw that tour too, Bob.
Oh, did you? It was a good one, hey?
Oh, it was great. Great tour.
Yeah, you know,
they came up to the Deep Park Sound Show.
They wrote so many songs about Australia, well, in Melbourne, I guess, especially. Sometimes like, when I'm doing the quiz things, I was thinking about maybe I could do a quick question about, you know, what songs about suburbs in Sydney. And then if you look at Skyhooks, though, they've written, like, there's a song called Carlton. There's a song called Baldwin Calling.
That's a great song.
All their songs are about freaking...
Lygon Street Limbo.
Lygon Street Limbo there.
Yeah, and I remember that, like, when I had the album Living in the 70s, and it was just, you know, like, it's like I had to shut the bedroom door and not let mum and dad hear, because there was this really risque song on it called You Just Like Me Because I'm Good in Bed, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, oh my God, how could anyone actually sing that out loud, you know?
Yeah, it was the first song Double J played.
Oh, was it?
Was it really?
Yeah, because those songs were banned, and so Double J came out of the box playing Skyhooks because no one's allowed to play it.
It's also a very sad song to sing to yourself.
Yeah. What was the song? What was the song about the twisties? That was
Smut.
That's it. Yeah,
that was
great.
Red Simon.
I think that's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? Like self masturbation, doesn't that kind of cancel things out?
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Rail Motor.
I guess we're
getting
the explicit tag on this week, are we?
Yeah,
sorry. I didn't know there
that's
was an
all right.
explicit tag.
We can do whatever we want. Hey, Jumping Johnny, mate. Jumping Johnny, how are you? Johnny Rail Motor. Tell us a little bit about how many bands have you been in throughout your career, I guess, and why is now Rail Motor so important to you?
Oh, geez. So... I was in a band with Tave, and that was the first band I was ever in. Then when that band ended, I was in another one with our guitarist, Bruce Fisher. So that was two, and then I was in another four or five in Brisbane. So that's about six, and then a couple of duo combos, a couple of trio combos. Always had a desire to get back playing with my original band, and then Tave and I reconnected a few years ago thanks to social media. And well, Rail Motor is important to me now because Tave's the guy I started playing music with. So it's a nice way to end things if they were to end playing with him.
I'm not going nowhere.
I know, but I'm just saying that's why I'm here. That's why Rail Motor is so important to me.
Are you saying that because Jimmy and Robbie are getting old?
No, I'm saying that because I do stupid things.
Where could you go from Adelaide, Braggy?
We could come up to here.
Yeah.
I will be there soon. Next week I'll be there.
I know. Can't wait. Can't wait.
And I won't have to wear this anymore. It'd be great.
What about you, Bobby? What's you're a bit more of the Billy Joel piano man, aren't you, if I remember rightly?
What, playing live?
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much Billy Joel. I kind of pretty much refuse to play that now. I'm just playing in bars. I love Rail Motor because it's a very creative outlet for me. And because I'm doing so much with covers with my, you know, to earn a living.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, like the... being in touch with Billy all the time, keeps that creative tap switched on, because he's always contacting me saying, oh, I've got this song and, you know, let's work on it. Let's do some stuff.
That's actually more like, Rob, I'm stuck. What do I do here? Wow, how does this sound? And you say, that's shit. Don't go there. I would never have gone to that chord.
Yeah, but it keeps me creative.
Yeah.
If you want to get there, you wouldn't have started here.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So who else is in the band, Bobby? Walk us through the band members. Of course, we've got Jumping Johnny. You're the boss. Why are you called Bobby the boss?
I don't know.
Because I wasn't allowed to put Fuhrer on the film. Otherwise, it would get taken down.
Yeah, that dog in the film clip is a German sausage dog called Otto.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
So the other members of the band, we've got these three here. Why do they call me boss? I don't know. You know, I cut them so much slack. They think that I'm really bossy, but I haven't even started being bossy with them. You know, wait till the next hour.
I think he's called the boss because he just keeps us on track.
Yeah, okay.
We'd be off.
Well,
Waxy and I, look, with ADD, these guys would be off doing shit.
We would get nothing done. We'd have a fucking ball, but we'd get nothing done.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are more, they're more sort of got the creative side of their brain just is switched on all the time. So they're you know, almost ADOS. So that's just, whereas I can stick my brain into patterns and lists and keeping things on track. So I know what needs to be done to get to the end product. Whereas these guys, Table, just he'll be in the middle of a guitar take and think, how this is a good idea for a song that I'm going to write in 3 weeks' time. And he'll start playing it.
There's a time and a place for everything, mate.
but you are very creative with your recording techniques, Rob.
Ever since I was tiny, you know, like a 3-year-old, I've always wanted to know how things work. You know, my mum still to this day says that I'm the only person she knows who at 3 years old could actually take apart a Tonka truck, which is supposed to be unbreakable. And it's because I wanted to know how it worked, you know, and audio has been exactly the same for me. I listened to songs when I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old. And I just loved what they did to me, and I love what they, you know, did in here. And since then, you know, like for 50 odd years, I've been trying to work out how that all works. And you work it out by, you know, working out how music works.
So when you guys been in recording, you kind of record live. Do you do a lot of the engineering on the fly yourself?
Yeah, I do all the engineering. It's all
big job.
Yeah. I had a few. It was this recording was a lot easier than the last one, but I don't remember as much of this recording as I did of the last one. Does that make sense?
And that wasn't because he was drinking too much.
No,
that makes perfect sense.
Well, that, it makes Rob Stanley a sense. So, I think the reason is because
Is very inexperienced when it comes to being in a studio, and that's why it's intense for you, Rob, I feel.
Yeah, I think it was the intensity because it was such a good recording space. I was like, my brain, just from the moment I walked in there at 8:30 until I walked out of there at, you know, whatever, 6-7 o'clock at night, I was just switched on, my head in the computer. At one stage, Jimmy said to me, he said, "Oh, Rob, I don't know how you do it, just being staying focused for so long, you know, for such a long amount of time." And that's the love coming out.
So you've mentioned Jimmy, and we still haven't had the answer. So who are the rest of the band? We've got Jimmy the Dude. So
yeah,
who
Jimmy,
else is that?
We call Jimmy the spiritual. What is he, Billy? The spiritual.
He's the spirit of Rail Motor. Yeah,
spirit of Rail Motor. Yeah,
yeah. So he's
the reason the band exists, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
then who else?
And then we got a new member this time. Have we gone through everyone? Yeah, one, two.
No,
three,
no, not yet.
There's one person.
No, we've got, we're
still waiting. You always forget, but that's fine.
But he's probably just wiped your memory. He's probably just wiped your memory. So
no, yeah. we got Benny on drums.
Yeah.
Benny the shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one knows.
We don't know what Benny is.
No one knows what he does, where he lives, what. Yeah.
Benny the shapeshifter. And of course, you've got the new member.
New member, Kat.
Yeah, Sweet Annie.
Sweet Annie, yeah. Annie, we were, I think Billy was looking for, we had a couple of songs that really could have done with female vocals. Mm. And Billy had quite a big sporting connection with Annie. Which is enough. I mean, you only have to say you've got a sporting connection. You're in the band, basically. It doesn't matter whether you can play or not.
Pretty much.
And so she came to the studio about, when would it have been? About September, October. And I put her in the studio here and just got her used to the mic and used to singing and because she hadn't done a lot of professional singing, not that you'd know from listening to it. And she sounded good. I sent the tapes off to Billy and he had a listen and said, yeah, it sounds good. It's going to fit in well. And it was his idea to put her in. But once we actually had a listen, we thought, we think it's going to work. And then she came along. She just instantly became one of the boys.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Straight in.
Maybe having Annie there was another reason why this recording went much better than the last one. Because we were
on your best behavior.
Well, yeah.
Being on your best behavior and having someone constantly feeding you lollies and biscuits all day.
Yes. She did a fabulous job of that.
She sure did.
Now, I've got a message from Annie too. I've got a message from Annie.
Yeah.
She said she's sorry that she missed this. She would have loved to have been on. But she's turning 40 today, so she kind of had something else planned.
Yeah, so happy birthday,
nice. Thanks for letting Australia know Annie's age.
How old she is.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
her mum let them know, so I thought it was okay for me to.
That's what big brothers do.
Hey, but I've just got to check some of those times, right? So you're saying 8:30 to 6 or 7. Did that include Braggy, or did he just wander off at times and go down the beach? Or was he in there doing those long days as well?
He was probably the second most. Him and Johnny were probably the two that were there just about all the time.
Okay.
Braggy was there longer than me.
Yeah, and then I guess it was probably Annie.
Mm,
absolutely, she was there next for sure.
And then Jimmy was great in the first week. In the second week, he'd done most of his work.
Yeah,
and we didn't see a lot of him. But he was still there, giving us listening to the stuff at the end.
And it sounds still not sure if the shapeshifter was there or not.
Well, there, no, you... Benny.
Well,
Benny was there. So yeah, because I put up a couple of petitions to control the drum sound, and we heard the drums, but we don't know whether he was actually there playing them or whether it was being controlled from something else.
Rossi, I'm sure I did see him,
but I think he could have had something programmed in my brain.
I'm sure you've worked with many people like this, Rossi, where Benny would just appear out of nowhere. Like, where's Benny? Oh, there he is. And then it'd be like,
where's he gone?
Yeah.
Where's Benny gone? Yeah. They are usually drummers who are like that, I've got to say. Like, the studio is the most confronting time for a drummer, though, I reckon, too. Like, if anyone's going to be exposed right from day one, the drummer has to be on from the start, and they're the guys who have to work the hardest in the studio. And in the modern day, when people try and get them to play the clicks and things like that, it can be measured how they're doing. It's a little unfair. The pressure drummers are placed under. But
he can do that too, Benny.
It's their pick.
That's right.
All right. So, guys, before we talk about your single, as you know, we do Braggy's Trivia every episode.
Oh,
And
geez, I had some fun doing this today.
Braggy was, I think he was tailoring this one to Mr. Paul Kelly. And
no,
Mr.
I wasn't.
Paul Kelly, we will get you on the podcast to talk about AFL one day. So maybe not music, but we'll.
You told me to do an Aussie one, so this is all Aussie based.
All right. So guys, I hope you got a pen and paper.
You need pen and paper. You definitely need pen and paper.
Just give me 2 seconds, all right?
Yeah. You're right. And Johnny, it's all about you and Bobby combining to beat Rossi.
So we got to be a team.
Yeah.
Well, you just add your points together.
We just add your points together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, so we score independently, but then we just get a collective score.
It's you and Bobby versus Rossi and Curly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Curly together.
Curly's normally a passenger, but I might be a go at this one. So
Curly be a goer.
I can't wait to tell you my new. I told Curly I'll tell these guys after I've come up with a new section.
But you know that when you were telling me that we had Bobby
in they were listening.
Green room and he was watching it, listening right.
Right. But, oh, well.
That's all good. All right. Braggy's trivia. Let's go.
Okay. There's four questions. Each question has got five parts to it. So 5 points each. So it's out of 20.
Okay.
The first section is called Front Women.
Cool.
So I'm going to say the front women, and you have to write down what band that they fronted.
Okay.
Or still front. Adelita Sayerson.
Jesus.
No one knows Adelita? I'm sure Rossi will. Susie DiMarchi. Third one is Amy Taylor.
Amy Taylor.
I love that fucking band, by the way, that she fronts.
So there's no like Chrissy Hind or, you know.
No.
She's not Australian.
There's some people you'll know, Aussie. Really.
Yeah, I know.
They're all Aussie.
I know
they are. Fourth one is Deborah Conway. Is that more of your liking?
Yeah. Yep. Got that one.
And the last one is Ella Hooper.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say her for some reason.
Yeah, well, it was a toss-up between her and someone else.
So Susie is,
Adelita Sayerson, Susie DiMarchi, Amy Taylor, Deborah Conway, and Ella Hooper.
Yeah, no.
Put the bands that they fronted.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Three of them.
Now, I'm going to read out five bands. You need to write them down. And then I'm going to read out the names that they were called before they were called that band. So you have to think this is about what bands were first called themselves and then they went, no, that's shit. We're gonna change our name. Okay.
Gotcha.
So five bands. The Avalanches, Something for Kate, Midnight Oil, Crowded House, and Daddy Cool. All right. That's the five bands. And now I'm going to read out, and you have to maybe draw lines to, or write them down next to who you think they were. Okay? Yeah.
Can you first read one, them out again?
The Avalanches.
Yeah.
Something for Kate.
Yeah.
Midnight Oil. Crowded House and Daddy Cool.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
The Mullanes.
I knew that one. That's the only one I know.
Fish of the Day. Sons of the Vegetal Mother. You wonder why you change. Swampy Moose.
Oh, my God.
Swampy Moose, spelled S-C-H-W-A-M-P-Y, Moose. And Whoops Down Syndrome.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay,
got that, boys?
Yep.
No.
It's
never going to be easy. Okay, this is my new section. And this section is Misheard James Rain's Lyrics. Okay. So what I need is the correct lyric.
One knows that.
And the song it's from. And the song it's from. Now, this, talking about when you're in early bands, I remember that one of the first bands I was in trying to do Aussie Crawl covers and having fucking wearing out the tape by rewinding it. And in the end, just going, fuck it. I'm just going to sing whatever I think it is. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
So I'm going to read the misheard lyric, and you have to write the correct lyric and the song if you can.
Yep.
Beautiful people, they got a rubber politician in their duffel bag. Right. Second one. Tell me when you're ready.
Ready?
You ready for this next one?
Yeah.
She don't like fat Canada beaver. She don't like fat Canada beaver. okay. The third one. Oh, werewolf, I could wear anything. Oh, werewolf, I could wear anything.
Oh, okay.
Far out. I'm struggling here.
Okay. Fourth one. This could be my favorite. Bang, sister, bong, saver. Love, we're going high.
Yeah,
bang, sister, there. Bong, saver, love, we're going high.
Yeah.
And the last one, and the last one is, oh, no, not Julian. they just make me laugh.
Oh, fucking hell. That surprises me.
I've only written one answer down. I won't be able to read it back.
All right. Last is the famous cryptic band names.
Yep. Our favorite.
I've been watching about the last four episodes, and out of four episodes, I think I've got none? One or two.
I started cryptic. Off really well. I'm just I'm tanking now.
Cryptic isn't my thing.
Okay. Mm. First one is Wyndham's Aliens. Wyndham, Wyndham's Aliens. Second one is Peak Bonnets. Peak Bonnets. Third one is Unhinged Hinges.
Unhinged
hinges.
Unhinged. Oh, fuck. Yep.
Fourth one is cuddling in bed with a smirk.
Cuddling in bed
with a smirk. How you going, Bobby?
No, not no, good.
No good.
How you going, Rossi?
He's killing me.
And the last one is McConaughey's End.
McConaughey's End. McConaughey. Yep.
Yeah, I do have that one.
All right.
I got one out of five, I think. Well done.
I got none.
Okay. One of them is a little stretch. One of them is a bit of a stretch, but
I think they're all a bit of a stretch.
No.
All right.
Okay. Front women. You ready for the answers?
Yep, go for it.
People listening. Adelita Sison is the lead singer for Magic Dirt.
Okay.
Sounds like Rossi, you got that?
Yep.
I would have thought you would. Suzy DiMarchi is lead singer of the Baby Animals.
Yes. Yep.
Amy Taylor is the lead singer of Amol and the Amol Sniffers. And the
Sniffers.
Oh, fuck. Have you seen them guys? They're awesome.
They are.
Yeah. Deborah Conway was Do Re Mi.
Awesome.
And Ella Hooper is from Killing Heidi.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew who the Deborah Conway and Ella Hooper were, but I just their bands, you know, takes me. My brain works a lot slower now than it used to.
Yeah, and Magic Dirt and Amol and the Sniffers are fairly new bands. You kind of wouldn't know them unless you do this podcast where you get to listen to shit stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Magic Dirt, maybe not, but okay. Okay. Whoops Down Syndrome was the Avalanches before they were the Avalanches.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. I got that one.
Fish of the Day was Something for Kate.
Yes. All right. Sorry. I get excited when I get them.
Swampy Moose was the high school band of Midnight Oil. Just didn't have Peter Garrett in it at the time.
What a guess.
Before that, they were called The Farm, weren't they?
The Farm or something. Yeah.
Yeah, The Farm.
Yeah. The Mullanes were Crowded House.
Crowded House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that one.
And Sons of the Vegetal Mother was Daddy Cool. That's some shit they're smoking back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I was looking at some Crowded House stuff. Do you guys ever watch that Tim Pierce guy on a podcast, guitar player?
Yes, I do, the guitar player, the session guy. He played on
the first Crowded House album.
Yeah.
He played on
Don't Dream It's Over, didn't he?
Yeah. He also played on Iris for the Goo Goo Dolls, but he's played on everything I played.
So Rossi, he would still get money for that, or is that just a one-off payment?
Nah, he would have got one-off paid payment. Yeah.
Okay. But that would have got him lots of other work playing on that.
Oh, yeah. Man, he's just too good, that guy.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's so clean.
And he's so normal.
Yeah, he's so normal. Yeah, he's a session guy.
I like him.
Not in a band. Okay. The song is Beautiful People, and it should have been Beautiful People. They got a Robert
Palmer
T-shirt.
They got their Rob Palmer T-shirt in their travel bag.
Yeah.
Correct. It's from Reckless. The next one is She Don't Like That Kind of Behavior.
Yeah,
I got that.
For Reckless. It's Oh Errol, I Would Give Anything. Werewolf, I Could Wear Anything. Then it's Things Just Don't Seem To Be Going Right. It's not Bang Sister Bong Save a Love, We're Going High. But that's a good line.
That's a cracker of a line, though.
Things Just Don't Seem To Be Going. And the last one is... The last one is Oh No, Not You Again. Not Julian.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sitting on 8, Rossi, so far.
Oh, what's the score? Let's have an up check. 8, Ross. You're 8, Curly. Rossi?
10.
18, boys?
3.
Come on, Rail Motor. 3. Taxi?
4.
Oh.
Yeah, we're letting the team down, Braggies. Sorry, man.
It's all right. It's hard questions. Would have made it some easier if I'd known it was you two dickheads on.
Can I just say, I'm not going to extend my score.
Not easier. Not easier, just older. Okay, Wyndham's Aliens. It's John Wyndham wrote the book, The Day of the Triffids. So it's the Triffids.
Okay.
Wyndham's Aliens.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was thinking Western Australia.
Yes.
Not bad. I'd almost give you that.
Because I was playing Western Australia
half
when the Triffids played. Thanks.
Yeah.
Peak Bonnets. Anyone get that? Well, it'd be the Hilltop Hoods.
I wrote down Hoods, but I'm thinking Hilltop and Peaks because I was thinking Peak of the Cap.
Yeah. No.
You should have said Summit Bonnets.
Yeah, I'll give myself one anyway. I was close.
Now, before I reveal this one, I just have to confer with Rossi. Yeah. Rossi, would you say that a turnbuckle is a hinge? It's a hinge that stretches the things.
I would call it a mount.
But it's in the corners like a hinge. And it tightens the thing. So unhinged hinged is psychotic turnbuckles. which these two boys won't know, but it's a band that Rossi has a lot to do with. He knows some of the guys in there. Do you like that?
They chase him around countries.
Tell the boys that one. Unhinged, hinges. Oh, well,
they are unhinged. They're like a football team on it. They're like a football team on an end-of-year trip away.
Anybody get cuddling in bed with a smirk?
No.
I wrote spoon, but I couldn't get past that.
And what's another word for a smirk? A grin?
Greenspoon.
Greenspoon.
Do I get a point for that, for writing down spoon?
Half.
All right.
And the last one, McConaughey's end, Rossi?
Matt Finish.
Correct.
Oh, that's the only one I got.
Thank you, boys.
Now, remind me, I do have a James Rain story for you later, Curly.
Okay.
No worries. So I got 10.
Nice work. Oh,
Jesus.
I gave myself two at that end. So anyway, hey boys, let's so obviously Ral Motor failed in the trivia, so let's get back onto the music. So so boys, you've had a single that was just released recently. So you've been in the studio, you've pumped out the first single. It's called There's a Light. Tell us a bit about it. How was the recording process for it? Obviously, we know who produced it and engineered it, but what was it like getting it all down in the studio?
I think it's Bobby's question.
It was actually the first song we tracked, very first song. And it just was such a good groove. And I think it was maybe take two. Of that.
Johnny but, had to remember it. So,
Yeah, but the boys were really, they were, I mean, for want of a better word, they were pumped, and they were all raring to go. And I think just the excitement of, because we Johnny managed to procure the room for us, but and he'd given me a walkthrough, a video walkthrough, 6 months earlier. But we didn't know what the room actually sounded like. I had a bit of an idea, but nobody really knew, just what it looked like, or how much room we were going to have, and stuff. And I think the boys were all really just felt great coming into this room that had so much space that they could just be comfortable. They could spread out. And once we got set up, we just went for it, and that was the first song, and it just sounded great. We listened back and said, "Yeah, we're really happy."
You don't need no parachute. Where we're all here to catch you.
So I think that's why that's got such a good feel to it.
Originally,
Annie, yeah, and we hadn't played. Sorry,
Annie wasn't singing on that, but Annie had learnt the words to every song just in case she was going to be called upon to sing something.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's how
she was. So she's professional, as opposed to.
Well if yeah. you call if you call putting the song on and singing along while your vacuum cleaner's screaming away in the background, then yeah, she's very professional while she was rehearsing.
Yeah. But she sang a lot. So as you know, Rossi, sometimes when you're laying the beds down, the tracking, it's hard to, you want to focus on your playing and you don't want to sing. You want to do the singing after. So you focus on the groove. And so Annie would sing along to keep, so we knew where we were.
Doing your guide vocal.
Yeah,
she do guide vocals.
Yeah. We wanted to keep it as live as possible because it's one of the things that of the last recording that we felt was a little bit obvious. Well, not obvious. It was obvious to us that you know was kind of recording bits. So we thought we'll try and get as much down as we can. Because it was such a small room for the last recording, we had to do the drums and then I think we did drums and bass first and then everything over the top of that. Whereas this one, we managed to do everything except the vocals. So because it was pretty loud with the drums and the guitars and stuff, Annie, and that's why she actually learned all the songs, because Billy and I discussed it beforehand. And he said, look, I'd really love to be able to just concentrate 100% on what I'm playing. So why don't we get Annie to learn the songs and she can just basically, because I originally was going to just put her in their cans. And so that like Billy just said, so that they could keep know where they're at in the song. And she sounded, that song was, like I said, it was the first one and it sounded really good. And I just had this thought that it might sound good with two voices on it, and it did sound great. The voices went real well together.
And just unison, well, octave, you know,
yeah,
no harmony, just
yeah.
But the live energy in the room makes a difference too, doesn't it?
Yeah, because we didn't use Annie's guide vocal once we'd had everything tracked. We then got Billy and Annie to get up there. And same thing, you know, I asked them to face each other and while they were singing. And, again, that makes a big difference too.
Well, the non-verbal cues, like, you know, the physical cues when you're playing at the same time, you watch each other, people are moving their head, their hand. Yeah, like you just get a whole different vibe. You really do. That's great. That's
what exactly.
You know what? If we didn't have her doing that, I don't think we would have got through those 15 songs in 8 days. She was critical to us getting that done, and we were getting like three or four songs a day done. So
big workload, 15 songs in 8 days.
Yeah, yeah. But she just having her there made it so much easier.
So what was the how did the decision come about that There's a Light was going to be your first single?
That was because it was easy to make a film clip for that one.
Very scientific.
Plus it was one of the songs we had picked out to be one of the singles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not the first. The one that's coming out soon, the next one, is probably the one we were going to do first, but we felt we needed clips these days in this world.
Yeah. And also you wanted an opener, and that's got it. You know, it's got a really nice groove.
Yeah.
There's a Light. You know, yeah, it's a nice introduction for people. An introduction to the next album, you know, whereas the next one that's going to come out, next song that's going to come out is more of a, this is, you know, more of an actual single type feel.
And, you know, your previous PR guy who got sacked shared the story about the song itself. So Big Billy, I'll point to you. Yes. Just walk through
the next song.
The listeners that may not have listened to our episode where you briefly talked about
what There's a Light's about.
Yeah, so There's a Light. Where did the song come from? What's it all about?
It comes from this room here where originally it's my studio now, but when my daughter was living here, it was her painting studio because the guy who used to own this house was a painter, an artist, that is. And she would be down here with her group of friends who are all, I don't want to say marginalized, but they were all very different. Yeah. You know, they all had their freak on.
Yeah.
And they all had little mental problems. Some of them had bad childhoods, and they all just looked after one another so well. And I'd sit down outside here and drinking my wine and just listen to them and how, it's just beautiful, you know, how they just young kids and how they were all caring for one another at different times. And there would have been, you know, sometimes there's five or six of them down here. So, and I just was just like the glow. There's a glow of the Light, which is the picture on that thing. And it was like, that's what it was like inside too, inside the room, you know. It's the glow.
It's a great story. So, boys, you've talked about 15 songs in, 8 days? So, no doubt there's an album coming. So jumping Johnny, I'll ask this question.
It's got a new nickname. Love it.
Well, I've had a sneak peek.
I've got to remember which persona I am.
Yeah, so.
I know the feeling.
So jumping Johnny, we've heard the whisper that the album's going to be called 11. And so what's the significance of the number 11?
So I think it started back when we were recording the first album, and every time we'd go to one of the local cafes for breakfast, either as a group or individually, we'd inevitably wind up with number 11 more than we would get any other number. And then when we dispersed back to our own regions around Australia, we were just taking photos. We'd go to a cafe with mates and you'd take a photo. Look, I'm number 11. And we were getting number 11 coming into our world at a rapid rate of knots. So I think that about sums it up from my perspective.
Yeah, it's just a stupid thing that we, because when you look for a number, you will always find it. It's like when you buy a new car, you always see that car on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you look at the clock, it's 11:11 very often.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, twice a day, Rossi.
Twice a day in my
house, yeah. Oh, very good.
See, that's why he's coming. He's the real Bobby's coming out there now. Captain Sarcasm. I love it.
No, so that was sheer wit. That wasn't sarcasm. Yeah. That was sheer wit.
That was same thing. That's a moment. So that might even make the end of year takes there, Bobby. So
of course, because we decided to call the album 11, it's, it only goes to say that you're going to have 12 songs on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you've recorded 15, so what's the process there?
Throw away 4 shit ones.
We actually had a democratic vote.
Yeah.
We actually had a democratic vote. I think, Billy, you got everyone to to rate them.
Waxy calculated it because Waxy's got a bit of a Rain Man when it comes to maths.
Okay. Excel. All I had to do was push one button, and Excel did it for me.
So what we'd like to do is have some vinyl that's got 12 songs on it, and then we'll, maybe on the Spotify we'll have put the whole 15 up because they're all pretty good. There's not one that I'm not that I hate that I wouldn't want people to listen to. There's lots I like better than others, but there's nothing that I'm not proud of.
It's a good progression from album number one.
Yeah, it's better. We're smarter. It's a much better sounding recording. Rob's just done an unbelievable job. Yeah. I mean, he had another freaking $14 million worth of microphones this album as well. So, tell Rossi about that microphone that you have. That's the one that Waxy didn't know which was front or back.
Wasn't just me.
Rossi will know it anyway. It's just a Townsend Labs Sphere. That's just the modeling mic. Had one of them, and I had a U87 for vocals. So that, and the things that, you know, like they just make such a big difference having that, you know, there's a reason that every studio on the planet uses a U87 for vocals, because you just sing into it and it just sounds sweet, you know.
Beautiful to sing into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have we lost the I thought we lost the sound hook. Yeah, he's back. Oh, good.
I said, Johnny, only if it's the right way around.
I know. That's what I said. I'm the only one, though. I think some other professionals have done it. I was just your roadie. Yeah. All you had to do was give me instruction, bro.
True. I'd take that on board. I should have
told me how to do my job.
you should have been better. All right. So
bad brief gets you a bad result.
Yeah, all the time. Hey,
absolutely. Rossi, bad tradesman always blames his tools.
Yeah, Rossi,
blaming the tools. I'm blaming the worker.
Well, I was the tool.
All right. So, Rossi, I've got to share a conversation that I just had this week with one of the members of Rail Motor who are looking to launch their very next single. And the reason why I said, gee, that's a bit quick, isn't it? And he said, well, Rail Motors isn't getting any younger. We're not Pocket Watch. So the theory is we'll release a single and then 2 weeks later we'll release the next one because they may not be around to see the end of the album. Is that the theory?
So when you get to our age as well, you can't remember the songs you heard 2 weeks ago. I can't remember them, I tell you.
It's going to come out next Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be 3 weeks, won't it?
On the 19th.
So tell us.
About on the 19th.
Do we want to do an exclusive?
You want to know the coolest thing about this song? It's in E, and that's it. It's one chord. And that's because you're going, Robbie.
Even you can play it, Curly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
On your banjo.
Yeah. No, seriously, you could.
You can play on the banjo, Curly. It's just one. You can play one note all the way through and it'll fit.
Okay. Once again, I've had a sneak peek of the video and the song. And can I tell you, I didn't know how you got Papa Smurf in there, but you did. So I'm a little bit worried about his dancing technique. But jumping Johnny on the beach with his dog, that's cool. And I'm not quite sure what bloody Bobby was doing on the floor with his dog. But anyway, it's a fun video, boys. So well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And when does the album come out? I've got to ask the question. I know Braggy's now sort of popping the singles out on a regular basis because that's what everyone does. So when is the expected date for the whole album?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, I'm only thinking this next one and the one after. There's going to be three because I'm following Rossi's regime. It's just a bit faster.
But Rossi.
It's not the pocket watch. It's not the 18-year-old, 17-year-old time zone. No, it's the 60-year-old time zone. It's a bit quicker.
But Jupiter 5's put out an album, right? So yeah.
It's cool too.
Yeah, it's very cool.
There's 13 tracks in one hit, and there. Look, it nearly killed me getting that over the line, I assure you. And Bobby will understand what I mean. When you're the grown up in the band who has to do all the monkey work, and all the decisions and all the stuff that people don't see, it's just so much like hard work.
Braggy and I are glad we've got a grown up in the band.
Look, I think Curly, I think this next one will come out next Friday, and by that time I'll be up with Jumpin' Johnny Rail Motor
strategizing.
We're doing a little
tour
up the East Coast playing covers and originals, and
remember my wife says we can't call it a tour. We're just two old blokes driving up the coast to play some gigs. We can't call it a tour.
Okay. And then we'll get up. Once we get up there with Bobby, and there's three Rail Motors, and Annie will be there as well, four Rail Motors in the one spot, then we can make some decisions on when the album will come out.
Just to be clear, how many shows are you doing?
1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Is that right?
Yes, 8, including the Loose Change reunion.
Yeah.
Well, then, therefore, that would constitute a tour, I'd suspect.
Rossi. Thank you, Rossi. I need to introduce you to my wife one day.
You tell Fiona that.
So you tell her that. I've tried to explain it to her rationally.
All right. So before we start to wind down, obviously there is a Loose Change reunion, which you just mentioned. What's all that about? Who's Loose Change and where are you playing?
So Loose Change is the very first band I was in with Tave. And when I left Townsville to head to Brisbane to become a rock star, and then all my hair fell out. So that didn't happen. I had to get a real job. And I've just kept playing music all the way through there. And I just always had this dream and desire to be able to get back and play music with these guys. And, here we are. We're now able to do it. We're playing two sets at the Herbert Hotel on May the 4th. And with the Shots, who were another band up in Townsville during the 80s, who were playing everywhere. And, it was a great time to be playing live music in Townsville back then. So, we get a chance to do it all again. And it's awesome that this wasn't planned when Tave and I had organised to head up the coast. It just happened by a series of events where Bruce Fisher, our lead guitarist, went down and spent time with Tave, and then come and spent some time with me, and we started talking, and before you know it, we were all going to be in Townsville at the same time. So I think we just kind of put it out there, and it happened.
Yeah, I think you'll find Benny's probably got a lot to do with that.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he probably made it. He talked to
Benny is the universe.
Yeah,
Benny is the universe.
And, we're looking forward to going up and staying at Chateau Bobby Rail Motors, It's
absolutely.
Beautiful view of Garbutt there.
No, you look over his fence, you don't even know you're in Garbutt.
You know, Curly, it's just so funny hearing them say that, because when they come to stay with me, they've just sealed their fate, because I'm now not going to let them back in the house unless they've spent at least 5 minutes in the ice bath.
Okay. I'll give it a crack.
All right. So, guys, awesome, and thanks for joining us tonight. Before we go, I've got to remind Rossi there is a James Rain story for your backstage story tonight.
Be careful.
Okay. Look, I was doing a run of shows with him, and I was a PA rigger, so I didn't really have much to do with him. But I was taken to the back and introduced to him, and and he wasn't my kind of guy, but it's all right. Not everyone is.
I don't think he's many people's guy.
I've been introduced to him and go, James, this is Peter, he's your PA rigger. I'll go, pleased to meet you, Mr. Rain. And he goes, "You can call me James." I said, "That's fine, Mr. Rain." Anyway, we've gone out. I'm just the PA rigger, right? And I'm in charge of making sure the amp racks are all running and the PA is not falling over, right? And so I'm standing next to the fallback guy, and James is having a bad night with his fallback. Like, he's sooking. Like, yeah, he is whinging. He's carrying on. He's having like a bit of a sook, actually. But anyway, he's run over, and he said to the fallback guy, "I can't hear a thing we're saying. Can't hear a thing I'm saying." We're all sniggering. "Of course you can't." "Whoever can." And so he's gone out, he's singing, and he's wearing a pair of Doc Martens, and he's driven the foot through the grill of a JBL wedge. Bang, bang. Driven the wedge right into the driver of the 12-inch speaker, because that's going to fix it. If you can't hear your fallback, driving your foot through the speaker is going to make it better. So
absolutely.
So that was the fallback guys last night. He got sacked. I took over fallback after that, and he became the PA rigger. But James was
wow. Yeah.
But he actually came. He came storming over the side of the stage and said, "I can't hear a thing I'm saying." And we're going, "Whoever has, you know."
How good was his fallback the next gig, Rossi?
I went out of my way to make it pretty loud.
Can I tell you my James Rain story?
Yeah.
Go for it. Actually, should be my wife that tells it. My wife was working for the Townsville City Council when we had an Australia Day show there, and it was supposed to be in the park, one of the parks somewhere, I can't remember exactly. And we had James Rain, Renee Geyer, and Joe Camilleri, right?
He's a good boy.
With a 3X. Mm. Yeah. And so my wife was kind of, you know, backstage. We couldn't, first of all, we had a deluge, so the place was flooded, so we couldn't do the outdoor gig. So everything got switched at the last minute to the Civic Theatre. And then there wasn't a full house there because some people couldn't get out of their fucking driveways. It was that raining that much, you know. With that. Anyway, James wasn't very happy that there wasn't much of a crowd there. And so my wife's story from backstage. First of all, my wife offered Renee a drink. And Renee's manager came running over and saying, no, don't do that. And then James was complaining. She said, Joe Camilleri was lovely. And James got on stage and he said something else about the weather and how there wasn't many people there, about the rain. And you know how sometimes, Rossi, there's a quiet moment in a theatre? There's something. My mate, a good mate of mine, stood up and just said, "Yeah, it's James fucking Rain."
Yeah,
and the whole theatre laughed.
He wouldn't like that. He would not like that.
He was not happy.
Was that cheeky?
Yeah, it was cheeky. Yeah, yeah. James Rain said, "Let's, Curly, please tell me we haven't got James Rain on the show next week."
No, we do not have James Rain.
We've got Renee Geyer.
from the. Yeah, she was lovely, by the way. She was lovely.
Yeah. Tell them the story about.
She was awesome.
You got her in a good
story about your dad, and staying alive.
Maybe we'll tell that after the show's finished.
Absolutely. So, just in wind up mode, Rob. So, or Bobby, okay. Bobby the boss. So, I'm sorry, you're not the boss on this show. It's okay. So. So once again, a big shout out to Johnny and Bobby from Rail Motor. I think hopefully our listeners have got a little bit more about what Rail Motor is all about, what the single is all about, and looking forward to the next one. Next week, Rossi doesn't know this yet, but we're going to have a break. So we've got there might be an episode come out. I don't know, but we were due to be talking to Josie Wednesday, but she's requested to do that on the 24th. So, and with Braggy up there with the boys, and I have a opportunity for a young lady from Adelaide who's coming into town on the same week, and unfortunately Wednesday night's the only time we can do dinner. So Rossi, you can have a week off, enjoy yourself. Take a sabbatical. Do some meditation. I know what you're like.
When are we doing the Jupiter 5?
We need to talk to get the boys from Jupiter 5 on, and so we'll talk to Rossi after the show. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. We've got a website, Unfiltered, Undiscovered. The new song from Realm Motor has been added to the Spotify playlist for Undiscovered and Unfiltered. And so will their new one. Lyrics from the playlist. Now, this is one of the very first bands that we spoke to, actually the very first band, international band that we spoke to. Braggy will remember Shane from Blind Season, the song Empty Summer. And once again, remember, Braggy, these lyrics were all in the dungeon during COVID. Or
we need to get him back on, see what he's doing. Yeah.
But the lyric is, the fear is so profound, it can't be where I'm bound, what's lost but can't be found. That's a fantastic lyric. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks again, guys, to the boys from Rail Motor. And we will see everyone, if not next week, the week after. Thanks for tuning. Bye. I'm feeling an empty summer.